Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener describes her different account of sleep paralysis and explains how she knows sometimes it is, in fact, paranormal. It's spookier than that documentary we...
I was thinking about that when I was reading it earlier, and I think it is.
Good. Something keeps playing with the children's toys in a family's home, and it isn't the kids. A mother has become conditioned to fear fire alarms, but it isn't because of a fire. And a mirror appears to have a life of its own in a teenage girl's bedroom. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I haven't seen any paranormal or movies or shows since our last episode to complain about, so.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry to let everyone down. I know everybody just comes to the show to go, what movie should I not watch?
Yeah.
What one should I just avoid? I did see on, I was looking for the last season of Walking Dead on Netflix, and it's not up there yet on Netflix, but there was, you know how... A lot of horror movies, they'll be like the big main one, and then, or in this case, a TV show, and then there'll be some not even B horror movie, more like D or Q horror movie, like that far bad and cheaply made. There's one on Netflix right now, and I have not watched the trailer for it. I've seen nothing about it, but it's called The Walking Deceased, and you can tell it's just designed strictly to confuse someone to accidentally press play on it, because it's like the logo is almost exactly the same. The main character is kind of looks like how the graphics on some of the original seasons of Walking Dead did with Rick and the hat and the gun and all that. And it's set up very, very similar. I almost just want to see this just to see how bad it possibly is. That'd be an interesting topic right there for the forum. Worst horror movie ever. And yeah. Troll 2 is probably going to be up there.
Yeah.
Other than Troll 2, because that's like the worst movie of all time. But just what was like the biggest letdown horror movie? Someone wants to start that thread up on the message board, on the forum section. That'd be interesting.
I would watch The Walking Deceased just to see how dumb it is.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can watch it later.
That'd be fun.
With the kids.
No.
It'd be great. Everybody gets sits around and... laughs at the movie.
Not with the kids, but yeah, that would be fun. Now, when does the other Walking Dead start?
The new season, I believe, begins in October.
No.
Oh, the other Walking Dead.
The spinoff.
The Walking Dead, oh, what is it called? It's, yeah, it's called...
Isn't it Fear the Walking Dead?
Fear the Walking Dead.
Okay.
You saved me a Google.
There you go.
Thank you so much for saving me a Google. That, I believe, late summer. I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
And that's, I believe, taking place on the West Coast for a theme. I don't know how, I don't think it's designed to ever really intermingle a whole lot other than everyone's dead. And there's zombies walking around. Same tragedy, whatever it was that occurred. But I don't believe there's a whole lot of mingling of characters or anything like that. But I can imagine at some point we're going to see, you know.
Something.
We're going to see like Norm from Cheers suddenly, you know, show up on wings. You know, kind of like that, that sort of a cross play. They'll just be like the most random thing.
Okay.
I think it'd be interesting. You thought on The Walking Dead, did they never really technically showed when Lori died.
Mm-hmm.
They just had the sound, and didn't Carl have to kill her?
Carl had to kill her. Yeah.
But we never actually witnessed it.
Yeah.
You had this theory that maybe she'll show back up at some point in time.
I don't know. We'll just...
She's going to show up on the West Coast.
You know, that was one of the few, because they go to such great pains to mm-hmm. show
sure.
people dying.
And that one we never saw.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there you go. Enough Walking Dead talk for one day. Tomorrow we'll talk more about Walking Dead and old episodes of Kate and Allie. That will be... somebody should just do a podcast all about Kate and Allie reruns. Where can you even see that? Is it YouTube, no, maybe?
I don't know. Nobody's going to even know what we're talking about.
Oh, there's like five people who got that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. And this comes to us from Jen. Isn't a very unique name.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get too many Jens.
It's Jen with one N.
How many Jens do you get in a day? How many... Seriously,
oh,
like three
day?
Or four?
No.
No, really?
No.
In a week?
Maybe two or three a week.
Okay. And this is not you?
No, it's not me.
Would you ever sneak a story in?
No.
That you had written?
No, because if I wrote a... Well...
We already probably talked about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this sounds vaguely familiar. Hey, this is Jen from New Jersey. I've been trying to listen to your entire archive, so I haven't listened to any recent shows. Well, good luck with that, Jen, because there's a lot of episodes there. So many so that iTunes has started erasing the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start getting those up in our EPP section soon. I'm on September of 2014 now. Anyway, the letter I wrote before was about my childhood. This time I'll share an experience that happened to me about a week ago. I was having a bad day. Things were not going right, and I was just feeling very down. Before going to bed, I got into a bad argument with my husband, mostly me just feeling super depressed for no real reason. By the time I fell asleep, it was pretty late and I was exhausted. But an hour later, I woke up feeling very panicked. I don't remember having any sort of dream that accompanied this, but I woke up very worried that something was terribly wrong. I couldn't move my body or speak. I tried to scream to wake my husband, but I couldn't open my mouth. I've had sleep paralysis before. Some situations I think were paranormal, and some situations I think it was just plain sleep paralysis. Anyway, anytime I experienced it before, I felt more like a pressure on my body. I'd be aware of what was going on, but not panicking the way I was. I glanced to my left, and there was a dark face above my husband. It's hard to explain what it looked like, sort of like a face with long black veil around it. And it came down off of it, no body. I mustered up the strength to scream, even though I still could not open my mouth. I screamed, "Get out!" through my closed lips. As soon as I said that, it vanished, and I was released from my state of paralysis. I sat up, but I immediately felt at ease. No eerie feeling or panic. I knew it was gone, so I didn't bother to wake up my husband. He's much more scared of these things than I am. I think because he's not sensitive and has never had a real experience, and he fears the unknown. After listening to your show, I think I may be an empath, not quite sure. There are several reasons why I think this, but this example I think is most interesting. For some reason, I can usually sense when my husband is calling me or about to call me. My husband was in the Marine Corps and deployed 3 times during his service. Because of the time difference, wherever he got a chance to call me, it would be late at night when I was asleep. I had a really bad habit of leaving my phone on silent. Even so, pretty much every single time he was about to call me, I'd wake up a minute or so beforehand. If I didn't wake up before, I would wake up right after I got the missed call in time for him to try again. My phone being on silent this whole time under my pillow. No light, no vibration. He has since gotten out of the military, but the same thing is true. Whenever I wake up in the middle of the night when he isn't home, I immediately think to grab my phone, and 9 times out of 10, he calls me within a few minutes. What's your take on that? Sorry this is long. Thanks, guys, for the show. It makes my work days so much better.
I think it's interesting for somebody who has had a number of sleep paralysis type episodes to weigh in on the difference between them. You know, because mm-hmm. most people, it's the same thing. But this time, there was something there that she addressed, and then it left.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if her prior emotional state before going to sleep had something to do with that. Because she was very upset, not feeling the greatest. I wonder if maybe that was what made the difference. And on that note, I wonder how many times people have a sleep paralysis type episode after having been upset one way or another.
I could see that. I could see, I mean, in it being a just a true paralysis episode, not necessarily paranormal, because sometimes when you're really upset about something or something's on your mind, it's hard to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier, I think, at that point to get into that state that you need to be in to really have a sleep paralysis episode where you're half awake, half asleep, because you're constantly kind of drifting there, not quite, especially later into the evening where you're almost asleep, not quite. And I could see that being, you know, your body being much more in line to fall there.
Yeah.
And then if there is something that's dark and something that's trying to get your attention or be attracted to you at that moment in time, I could see you being even much more open to it or a victim of it just because of, you know, preying on someone who's troubled at that moment in time.
Now, as far as the empathic part of the story, the question there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's hard to say based on just the examples of the phone,
mm-hmm.
because two people can be so intertwined where that happens and not be,
an empath,
either one of them, or one could be and the other might not. So I would just be curious to know if there's other examples too, because like you and I, you know, I'm empathic, but you're not. But there's times where you're about to say something and I answer it before you even say it, because mm-hmm. I know I can just tell what you're about to say. And it's not just a smart alecky comment. It's just sometimes you're usually about to ask about something. Mm-hmm. And I just go ahead and answer it.
It works out well. I can just go, hey, and then you give me the answer. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, and then give me the other answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it works out well. I don't have to say a whole lot. I say, hey, and Those are the only other words that I say when we're not on the show together.
And our listeners have to know how hard it is to know what you're going to say, because most of us never know what you're going to say.
I'm pretty predictable.
You are not.
I am just as predictable. I'm very predictable. I mean, everyone talks about reruns.
And there you go.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. What was the theme song from that show?
I don't know. We played it the other night.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even, like, really recognize it.
Mm-mm.
Here's the weird, stupid shit that I remember in my mind.
Okay?
These are the things that I don't know why I remember them, but they just stick with me. And then I can recall them 30 years later. Okay? I remember eating at a TGI Fridays in Orlando, Florida, when I was in kindergarten. Kate and Allie was on the TVs at the TGI Fridays. And they were playing, there was a subtitles because it was, you know, they were muted. So you could sit there and you could really, really get into the show and really read all the compelling dialogue.
Now, could you read at that time?
No, I don't think so. Well, like basic stuff, like uh-huh. C-Spot Run.
Okay.
You know, but this was much more, this is more like a first grade reading level.
Oh, I see. There's a big jump there.
From, for the Kate and Allie show. Yeah. Okay. Who was in that?
I don't even know.
I should look that up. I don't know why I thought of that. Anyhow, it's just obscurity. I love obscurity. And that's why I remember shit like that. My mom got a staple in her salad at the TGI Fridays.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, maybe that's why I remember the experience. Like one of them big box staples.
Oh, yeah.
Then the manager came over like, well, yeah, what do you want me to do about it?
Wow.
My dad had fun with that.
I bet.
It was great fun. That's where I learned some of that funness. Krista writes in, hi Tony and Jenny, I love the show. I've been listening to it nonstop for the past 3 weeks in between watching reruns of Kate. Wow, that's what a coincidence.
It does not say that.
You definitely help my work day go by much faster. I wouldn't say I'm super sensitive to the paranormal, but I've always had an interest in the supernatural and like to keep an open mind about these things, even though it scares the hell out of me. I've had a few unexplained experiences in my 27 years that I'd like to get your take on. I just listened to the intro to the Haunted Elmo episode and had to immediately pause it to tell you my related story to the puzzle you have that seemed to go off at random times. I should start this story off by saying that I, my husband, and our two young children currently live with my mother-in-law. In the past, we have experienced strange happenings going on in the house. Does not feel too creepy for a house, but let's just say that at night I try to avoid getting up and going about the house if I can help it, and I definitely avoid looking in the bathroom mirror for an extended period of time. Getting to my first story, my mother-in-law just bought one of those train puzzles with a sensor in it so that when all the pieces are put together correctly, it makes a choo-choo sound. It does this. Like how I kind of got out of the choo-choo?
I like that.
It's like second nature.
Mm-hmm.
I just see it. I have to go choo-choo. It does this because the sensor in it senses the change in light. My one-year-old son loves it, and I did too until it started going off seemingly at random times. My son played with it for a few times, and after cleaning up one day, I had it under a pile of other puzzles and books on our kids' art desk we kept in the living room. But a week ago, I started hearing it going off in the middle of the day while it sat underneath other toys. This happened on several occasions. At first, I thought it was just the sensor going haywire and thought nothing of it, until I realized there was no change in light in the living room that would have set it off. On this particular day, as I got closer to it, it started going off repeatedly. I walked over to it and took it out from the other toys on top of it and set it down on the desk. Sort of studied it, and the noise seemed to stop until I started walking away from it. At this point, I got freaked out and already believing there was some sort of energy in this house due to past experiences, I said out loud, "If you're doing this, please stop. You're scaring me." I did not hear the puzzle go off for the next few days. Then, last night, my mother-in-law and I were talking about weird experiences we've had in the home, and I said to her something along the lines of, "Yeah, like the puzzle that keeps going off." At that exact moment, the puzzle went off. Walked over to it, a little pissed off. It went off again after I'd already said not to, because it scared me, and said out loud again, "Please stop. That is scaring me." Again, it stopped. And just to be clear, there was again no change in light, either brighter or darker. I could have made the sensor go off. I'm sure it will happen again. Like I said previously, we've had other unexplainable things happen in this house. Before my son was born, when my daughter was about 2 years old, her baby monitor receiver we had in our room would turn off or the volume would completely turn down during the night while we were sleeping. I wouldn't realize this until I would hear her crying through the walls. Call it mother's intuition. Once I realized what was happening, I would make sure the receiver was turned on and the volume all the way up before we went to sleep. In order to turn the volume up or down, you would have to physically roll the volume dial with your fingers, and there's no other way to do so. This went on for a few weeks. It really freaked me out because I started thinking that whatever or whoever that was doing this did not want me to hear my daughter when she woke up in the middle of the night. Finally, one night, I got fed up and in the middle of the night went to the monitor, or when the monitor was turned off, and I heard my daughter crying through the wall, and I said out loud forcefully, "Stop it. This has not happened again." So those are my stories for now. Thank you for sharing them. I have much more, which I will try to write a call in at a later time. Until then, keep up the awesome work. You two are so entertaining to listen to, and I love your point of view. Thank you, Krista from Texas.
I think it's interesting that both instances she gave involved something that has some kind of electronic workings.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the choice of the entity to manipulate things that are electronic.
And they tend to be involving the child.
Mm-hmm.
That's the disturbing part.
Yeah.
What's really bothersome more than anything else, I mean, you can kind of write the toy off with just electromagnetic fields and currents, and I mean, the timing is pretty damn creepy.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wouldn't completely write it off. I mean, that's how I wrote off the one that we had that was doing it, because I figured when I turned a light on, it did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I proved that to myself. It wasn't just randomly going off. It was because someone had switched a light somewhere in the house, and it, whatever field goes out, did that to the toy. But the baby monitor, when you actually have to turn the dial,
yeah,
that's the creepy. I mean, if it was just one of those like digital and, you know, you press the button up or down, those can malfunction. You know, those can go up or down on their own, you know, mm-hmm. without having to turn a dial. But when the dial actually physically needs to be turned, that's the creepy one. That's like where you sit there and if you're watching it turn.
Yeah.
That's just scary.
It is. And, you know, it's interesting to me, though, with the puzzle that when she said for it to stop, that it would for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And with the baby monitor, again, she said stop, and it did for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's telling me it's more than just coincidence.
Yeah, I think there's something more going on there. What I hate is when you have the child crying and you can hear them through the walls, and then it's really loud and you get right to the door and you still hear it, and you open the door and you go in there and they're sound asleep.
That doesn't happen.
It happens all the time.
It does not.
I'm getting the look of death.
That's not, I don't have a look of
no,
death.
No, you don't. You're not giving me the look of death. I just thought that that scenario came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if it was going to go there as I was reading. And I thought, ooh, after this, I'm going to tell Jenny that this happens.
It does not happen.
It doesn't happen. But that would be great in a horror movie. I'm sure it's been done. Maybe it's on The Walking Deceased.
We'll have to tune in and find out.
We will have to find out after these messages. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Benny writes in, this didn't exactly happen to me at first, but it happened to my mother and has managed to creep me out greatly, as I, as well as my siblings, have experienced a part of this many years after my mother had moved from the house where it happened. When my mother was 14, she lived in a trailer park near a graveyard, less than a few minutes away from the house. This is also the graveyard a large majority of my family is buried in to this date. My mother lived with her parents and grandmother in this house, and her grandmother passed away in her sleep about a year prior in the same house and was buried in the graveyard near her house. Every day in the morning, her parents would go to work, so she'd be alone in the mornings to go and catch the bus to school. She told me that every morning after she left the house or tried to, at least, her fire alarm would go off like crazy. She'd shut them off quickly before leaving to the bus, and they'd do it again when she got home. This happened continuously every morning and afternoon for months, unless her parents were home. Followed also by closet doors opening and closing, her walking up feeling like she'd been watched and things moved in her room only. She started having suspicions about what was going on and figured soon after that it was her grandmother trying to tell her she was still there. My mother was scared to the point of being in tears because it would happen so often, with the fire alarms going off every time she'd leave and just at random intervals for no reason at all. She yelled at the spirit to stop once and was crying, and she suspects the spirit left after that after that day, everything stopped. Fast forward many years to when my mother had my sister. She was about 18 and still finishing her last year of high school. My mother wasn't with the man who is the father of my sister anymore, but they still keep in touch, and a few years later, my mother got married to who I would soon call my father. I probably explained that poorly, but basically my sister and I have two different dads. Anyway, fast forward once again to when my mom, sister, and dad moved into the house that we currently still live in to this date. Everything was all good. They had me and eventually my brother some years later. When my mom was in her 20s, my brother is a year younger than me. When I was around 3, strange things began to happen at my house. I don't remember them all that much, but they continued until I was about 6 or 7, so I remember them clear enough. We weren't the kind of family who did regular checks on our fire alarms. We really should have, but we never had anything set to go off for a fire drill or whatever, and this is why I remember it being so freaky. The fire alarms used to go off at random intervals. I remember my mother being afraid of it, and it getting to her to the point where my dad had to take the main fire alarm out and disconnect the other one, which is hanging on the wall as a backup now. This has since stopped, but I always remember it, and since I can't swear, I've heard someone walking through my house at night and things when everyone is dead asleep. I live in a trailer currently now as well, by the way, though I don't think that has any relevance. My mother and I were talking, and she's convinced it was her grandmother, making sure that she was all right and looking over us. She claims to still hear someone in our house at night, too. It's forever going to be the creepiest thing I've ever experienced, as has my mother. And it's strange to say, I almost feel like there's an entity keeping me in my house. I've always had agoraphobia, but it's a strange feeling I can't describe. We talk about moving sometimes, and I really honestly feel like someone is keeping us from doing it. Like there's someone in this house who doesn't want us to leave. We built this house, too. I love your show, by the way. I'm a huge horror junkie, and it gives me so many more chills of fear at hearing other people's stories. I'm a bit new to your podcast, but already I'm considering becoming an EPP someday. Keep up the chilling work.
I can understand a fear of fire alarms after what the mom went through.
Sure.
But I would still have to have them just out of my fear of having a fire and not knowing.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you have kids, you can't not have fire alarms and smoke detectors in a house. I mean, that's you just need that. But I can see where it would just be, you know, especially if it still is triggered and you have to constantly deal with that. That'd be very stressful.
You know, I almost thought that perhaps the mom was a slider, you know, where there's something about that person that affects electronic things because of electromagnetic fields or however that works. But it seems to be isolated to just the craziness when she's alone.
And then who's going to believe her? That's the issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like it knows that.
And see, I wouldn't think it would just be isolated to when she's alone if that were the case.
Sure.
So.
Makes sense. What's, the fire alarm thing is interesting. I mean, I have a very big fear of Himalayan mountain goats from when I was a small child and the accident that I don't talk about with the goat. But we have some in our backyard and they mow the grass and we couldn't live without them. I'm very happy that we have them, but I still am kind of afraid. I'm afraid that one's going to corner me over by the mulberry tree. And that's all I want to say.
I'm just going to let you go with that however far you want to go with that.
There's so many places I could take it, but I won't.
There was no accident with Himalayan mountain goats, and we don't have goats in our backyard.
Still fine? Still finding fur in places that I shouldn't be.
Gross.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know.
Is that what? I don't even know. We did look at Mount. I used to love watching the goats at the park.
Okay.
They were fun. I still like looking at the goats. They're funny animals. And I have never like seriously considered, but thought it would be great to have one in your backyard to mow the lawn, essentially.
But they eat everything.
I think you would have all dirt. It would eat all of the grass.
And all the toys and everything. There'd be big chunks missing out of the kiddie pool.
It wouldn't work out so well.
No.
Oh, and the accident. I don't want to talk about it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. See, I'm giving examples to back up your point of how difficult it can be sometimes to predict what I'm going to
be. I'm pretty sure you didn't need to give any more examples on that.
Maybe I can come with a few more by the show's end today. Liz writes in, I've always been really into the paranormal, so when an older boyfriend of mine offered to take me to this haunted bridge in our city, I jumped on it. I've heard of the bridge, but don't really know anything about it other than if you stop on the bridge, you'll see a phantom car or hear a woman crying. Pretty low-key ghost hunting, if you ask me. That's what they wrote. That's not me saying that. We had to take a long, dark, winding road to get to the one-lane bridge. I was enjoying the drive and taking everything in when about 45 minutes in, around 11 p.m., I started to panic. It happened all at once. It was like there was something outside that I didn't want to see. I jumped into the floor of his front seat and screamed that he needed to take me home over and over again. My boyfriend stops and tells me that we're here. I only get more panicked and demand that we leave. Never been to this bridge, so I had no idea that we were so close and I couldn't have seen it, the darkness and fog. But after turning around, I was fine. It's like nothing happened. The scariest part of all of this is that when we got home, we had gotten a horrifying update from our news app that at 11:20 p.m., two cars collided on that bridge only minutes after we left. I'm not sure what it was or what I did, but I know that I wouldn't be here today if I didn't listen to my gut.
Sometimes you just know things.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what, but you just know this something's not right.
Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of like Theorosis Bridge north of town, but I'm sure it's a different bridge, and I'm sure most urban areas have the haunted bridge.
Mm-hmm. They do, and, you know, some have legitimate stories behind them, and some are just urban legends, and I suppose if you dig, you can find it. Is the Theorosis Bridge around here, did we ever confirm that that was a real story, or is that all just urban bullshit?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it that much, and I know that a lot of people would call in to you and talk about that when you were on the air here. But
yeah,
I know a lot of strange things have happened out there, but I think it's just been strange things happening because there's people at this bridge in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Versus actually seeing or hearing the entity itself.
If I lived out in the country where this bridge is as a kid, I would have made a point on my summer days off of just going and hiding underneath the bridge and playing over there, knowing that at some point during the day, somebody's going to come to this bridge and try and do the Theorosa thing. Where, like, they have to yell, shout something or something. I don't remember. It's something about the baby or whatever. And then I would be under the bridge making crying noises or just shouting back. I would freak so many people out. That's what I would do on my summer vacations if in a different time and place.
Around here, that sounds like a good way for you to get shot.
That's true. I probably would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would be dead. Never thought of that.
Yeah.
Hmm. I told you the time we thought we found a body underneath the bridge by my parents' house.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was just a big roll of carpet, but no body. That could have been a scarring experience. Instead, it's just a wacky story from childhood. it's just one little thing changed in that story. Totally tragic and scarring.
That's not a little thing. That's a big thing. Either a body's there or not.
It's a big thing, but for a good portion of the day, we believed there was a body in there. And just a big roll of carpet. My dad went down there with a pitchfork. He's lucky there wasn't a body in there, because he took the pitchfork into the carpet to try and roll it or move it.
Uh-huh.
Had there been a body in there, he'd have been stabbing the body too.
Yeah.
Luckily, no body. There you go.
Yeah.
Want to go to the bridge sometime? And
I'm not going under the bridge.
Check it out. It's kind of creepy down there.
I don't want to go under the bridge. Get bugs.
Make out a little bit.
No.
Spray paint our names underneath it. Caitlin writes in, for most people, Halloween is a time of fun for dressing up, horror movies, and going out to get the piss scared out of you at your local haunted house and attractions. In my family, it's a time of sadness. Halloween of 1995 at 3:30 a.m., we received a phone call that my grandfather on my mother's side had passed away in the hospital. That same morning at 9 a.m., my father received a phone call telling him that his parents had been in a horrible car accident and had both died. When all this happened, I was only 4. I consider myself both lucky and cursed all at the same time. I was young enough to not remember the pain of going to 3 funerals in one weekend, but I was also too young to really remember my grandparents. Till about the age of 18, I was scared to death of the idea of anything paranormal. My house was pretty quiet and nothing strange would happen. In January of 2010, I was in a terrible car accident. I shouldn't be here to even tell you this story, but I somehow managed to walk out with nothing but some bad bruises. I know Nan, Pap, and Pappy Jack saved my life that night. After that, I started to watch and read anything I could get my hands on about the paranormal. I'd finally gotten up enough nerve to ask my grandparents to send me some kind of sign that they were still around. Sadly, nothing happened. Well, until that October. One night, I had a bunch of friends over for a party. My room is in the basement along with our media room. I had gone down to change my pants, and in the doorway of the media room stood a shadow man. I felt a little uneasy, but continued into my room, changed, and booked it up the steps. A week later, my mother was putting away dishes in my Nan's mug that my mother keeps at the back of the cupboard flies off the shelf, breaks the mug in her hand, hits the floor, and does not break. As she's cleaning up that mess, the unplugged, no battery radio turns on and is playing Don't Stop Believing. Needless to say, we haven't. Things happen here now on a regular basis. Nothing disturbing, but just little things to let us know that they're here. I'm done rambling on now. Sorry my story is so long. I love the show, guys. You all keep me entertained on my long drives. Thank you for everything. Caitlin.
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. I wonder if, as you get nearer to the time, like the anniversary of when somebody died,
mm-hmm.
if that is a peak and that if they are a ghost and they're haunting abilities.
If they get, like, some bonus days of extra power?
No, well, not so much bonus days of extra power, but just they're maybe a little bit stronger as far as what they're able to do.
I suppose anything is possible. I think there's some logic to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if, you know, when you hit an anniversary of something like that, you have a lot of people, you know, if you were liked, that are thinking of you. And if that translates into some sort of energy about that person, I suppose that that person could feed off of that. And that's my non-scientific Ghostbuster answer.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about a topic that there's not a whole lot of sense to it.
Sure. I was just curious because it said, you know, things were kind of quiet until October. Sure. And Evan, mm-hmm. they all three of the grandparents passed away on Halloween. So yeah. as it was getting closer, I wondered if that was the case. I know we've had some stories of residual hauntings where it'd be like the same day every year something random would happen and then yeah. it would be done. But yeah. I was just curious.
I suppose anytime you have an emotionally charged event, date come up, your odds increase.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Crystal writes in, this is my personal account, one of many, but this one has always bothered me. When I was in my teens, about 18, I had a gold oval mirror in my bedroom. It wasn't anything too special. It was a plastic frame and about 3 feet tall. I shared this room with my twin sister for several years. Never noticed anything odd about it. I believe my sister had recently moved out or was gone frequently. So I began to be alone in the room more. One night I was sound asleep. I had my radio on low like I did every time I slept alone. I've always been afraid of the dark, but I decided the last few nights to have all the lights out so I could get over my fear. It was sometime in the early morning, still dark outside, when I heard a crash in my bedroom. Everyone was asleep in the house, but my mom came running through the house to see what had happened. The mirror had come halfway across my room and lay against the wall next to me, behind my bedroom door. The door was closed, mind you. I had an old closet where the doors were gone, so I put my bed partially inside so my head was in the closet. So I looked to see how the mirror could have fallen. The nail was sturdy as ever in its place. I checked the wire on the back of the mirror, also still intact. So I hung it back up there, and it sat as still as it ever was for several months. Then one afternoon, my sister, my friend, and I were just hanging around in my room like normal. I think we were just getting ready for the day. My friend was lying on my bed talking to her dad about college, and it got pretty heated. All of a sudden, the mirror shook violently, and my sister saw this too. We freaked out, of course. The mirror didn't fall or anything either. We asked our friend if she saw it, and we were surprised when she said she didn't even notice. She was literally 2 to 3 feet away. We didn't hear any loud bangs or doors slamming prior. We tested the doors around the house and stomped on the floors, but nothing had that tremendous of an effect. After that, as far as I know, nothing more had happened with Amir. I no longer have Amir. Thank you for reading. I'd love your feedback. Of any kind, P.S. I've also had many times of sleep paralysis in the same room. Maybe there is a connection?
There could be a connection. There could be something attached to that mirror.
All the more reason to buy mirrors from antique stores when you see them.
No.
Because you never know what you're going to get.
No, I'm just not a big fan of mirrors.
I wonder where the mirror is now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, objects like, I mean, unless they're broken, you know, things like that, you know, if they're given to a secondhand store or an antique store if it's an old one, or unless it's broken, it's very likely shaking on someone else's wall.
Yeah, and I do find it interesting that it could come down off the wall and across the room without breaking. It makes you wonder if there's not something kind of protecting it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Thank you for the letter. Very good story. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Taylor. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name's Taylor. I'm a fairly new listener, but I had a few stories that I thought might be fun to share with you guys. This one happened, it started about 2 years ago. I moved into a townhouse with my fiance and his daughter, and it had belonged to his father, who was still alive. He didn't die in the house, and he actually was the one who built it, so nobody had passed away in the house or anything like that. But it just got too big for just his dad, and so we moved into it and took it over. And we had lived together for a while, but not on our own. We lived with his mother. And when we moved into the townhouse, a few strange things started happening. And at first it was just little things, like we had a trash can where you had to press the pedal to make the lid pop up. And it could be difficult to close the lid, but once you had it closed, it was closed. And it would just randomly pop open. And we wouldn't have been using the trash can recently or anything like that, and it would just do it all by itself. And we just thought it was because it was, a cheap trash can. But then we started hearing creaking to the point where we would hear footsteps coming up the stairs that sounded so much like an intruder that my fiance grabbed his knife and went hunting through the house because he thought someone was there. There was times when I would be home alone and we have a dog, and we would be in our bedroom and the dog would just start growling at the door, and the door was closed, but I would go and I'd sit and wait for him to stop growling because there was no way I was going to open the door. Then it got to the point where there was one time when I was home alone like that, and again, Bunker started growling at the door, and then there was pounding on the door, like someone was actually in the house. So that time I grabbed the knife and I whipped open the door, and there was no one there. And I went through the house and still nobody. The garage door was shut. Both doors downstairs were locked and closed. And so that was really strange. Then it got to the point where his daughter started hearing things and seeing things at night, and it didn't scare her the way it scared us. There would be nights when she would wake up and say, did you close my door last night? Because we would leave it open for her. And we'd say no. And she'd go, well, someone opened it and then closed it again. And then other times she said that she saw a shadow walking out of her closet and out into the hallway. Again, it never scared her. We asked if she was scared, and she was like, no, it's fine. But it started bothering me a little bit that it was waking her up. So I actually talked to his mom, my fiance's mom, and she talked to one of her friends who is a little bit more sensitive. And she said that she actually did a little bit of research and went off of what she was feeling. And she got the feeling that it was kind of a guardian spirit that was part of their family because of their German descent, and that it wasn't happy because I was there. And it was trying to scare me off to see if I would stick around. So I kept that in mind, and we just kind of relaxed, and Emma started talking to things that weren't there. And so that was kind of odd, but I had my last straw when I was home one evening by myself. I was actually cooking dinner to bring to my fiancé, and there's a light that sits in a little plastic case above our kitchen sink, and it's like a black plastic ring, and then there's a rounded glass lens, and then the light bulb underneath that. And I was cooking at the stove, which is a good 5-6 feet away from the sink. And my back is to the kitchen, and I'm just cooking and listening to the TV. And all of a sudden, I hear a bang, and then I feel something hit me in the back. And when I turn around to see what happened, the plastic ring has fallen off of the light, and it fell straight down into the sink. But the glass lens flew that 6 feet and hit me in the back. And that was when I had my last straw, because if it's going to start throwing things at us, that's not acceptable. So I turned around, and I'm in my, you know, I'm on the first floor, and I turn around and I go, look, I don't know what you are. I don't know if you're bad. I don't know if you're good. But I'm going to tell you right now that I am part of this family. I am here to stay, and you're not going to scare me off. If you're something bad, I will get rid of you. And if you're something good, you are welcome to stick around. But you need to know the rules of this house. There are no throwing things. There is no stomping in the middle of the night. You leave us alone and you play nice. I just went off and ranted at this thing forever and threatened it if it was something that was trying to hurt us. And from then on, nothing has happened. Occasionally, the trash can lid will pop again, but that stopped for a while. And so occasionally that'll happen. Sometimes we'll hear a creak here and there. But I think that's more of just kind of a reminder that it's still there and it's still watching over us. But I think it's kind of accepted the fact that I'm part of the family now. And so I wanted to share that with you and see what you guys thought. And yeah, I'm loving the show, and I'm definitely going to keep listening. Thanks for everything you're doing. Bye.
It's always nice when the ghosts start accepting you as part of the family.
Well, I don't think if I thought it was something good that I would still invite it to stay.
Sure.
If it's throwing things at me, it's not okay.
It's just temperamental.
It's just not okay.
Well, like, does it matter what the object is that it's throwing at you? Like, if it was a beach ball?
I don't want it throwing anything.
Hat? Butter knife? Where do you draw the line? Butter knife?
Yeah, probably butter knife.
But butter knife, that's just for peanut butter and butter. Now, I could see a snake knife having issue. Butter? Or especially like one of those little cheese spread ones.
If it's throwing something at me that I won't let my preschooler play with, then I don't want that going on.
Oh, we're not supposed to let her play with knives?
No.
Oh, shoot. I'll be right back. She's in the other room right now playing with steak knives. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, I think anything, any object of any sort being manipulated by something that's not there is really, I don't care who it is. I'd probably kindly ask them to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, love you. I hope you're okay over there, but please, this is not not making the house all so comfortable anymore.
Right.
So, thank you for the call. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Police calling in from Austin. You guys read my story about the ghost in Wichita, Kansas that opened my friend's cabinets and drawers in the kitchen. And she called the police out, and they basically told her they had no other valid excuse for what it could be. I'm calling today to share a story with you guys about something that actually happened to me last night. My husband and I were asleep in bed, and I woke up. I mean, I was in a dead sleep. I really am not a light sleeper, so when I'm out, I'm out, and it has to really be something big to wake me up. And I woke up because I felt somebody rubbing the side of my leg very affectionately. And I thought, oh, that's sweet. It must be my husband. So I rolled over, and he had his back completely to me and was snoring. And he's a big guy. He's 6'11". So it's not like he could ninja and turn over really quickly without me feeling it, because the bed pretty much, you know, convulses every time he turns around in it. So it was just the weirdest thing. It's just the two of us. We don't have any kids. You know, I don't know. But if it was enough pressure of somebody to be rubbing my leg that it woke me up in the middle of the night, and it definitely wasn't him, and it's not one of our dogs. So it was just very, very weird to me. And I know that it wasn't a dream, because when I was still kind of half awake and waking up, I could still feel somebody doing it. So it was very creepy. This house in general, we just moved here and we're renting. I don't know if anything bad has ever happened in it per se, but it is, you know, sometimes I get these weird feelings. We both work from home and my husband travels a lot, and I'll often get the feeling that somebody's watching me, and I'll turn around and of course nobody's ever there, but it's just, I don't know, it's a little creepy. So I was curious to see what you guys thought about it. Anyway, keep up the great work. I love the show, and I will call in with more stories. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. What would be better when you have the feeling of being watched, and you turn around and nothing is there? What would be more calming if this is happening on a regular basis? You turn around and you see the shadow just move away. But you can confirm, okay, there was indeed a shadow person watching you or whatever, moves away. And then it's gone. It's a ghost. But you can quantify that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more calming when you turn around and there's absolutely nothing there, but you just have the feeling? Would you rather have the shadow person being there and you can go, oh, it's just the shadow person again?
I think I'd rather not see it.
No?
Yeah, just because the fear, when you feel like somebody's watching you, the fear is that when you turn around, something is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. But if it was there all the time and you just got so used to it.
Don't
That's
know
what I'm saying.
That I would get used to it. So for me, it would be to turn around and have nothing there.
Okay.
I think I could get more used to the feeling of being watched versus turning around and knowing that I'm being watched.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
That's I don't I'm going to probably go with I'd rather not see anything there. Mm-hmm. But I could see after a while, if you just get used to it, it's like, yeah, I know I'm being, I can feel it. I know it. It's right there. And it just moved away. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to go stare at the cat. So, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Eric from Kentucky. I was listening to one of your shows the other day, Human Remains. I try to play catch up. I know I'm behind. But you made references as to why so many people hide under the covers of the bed when they get scared. And I have a theory. And if you think back, I believe it's an instinct that we're born with. When children cover their eyes, they truly believe that you cannot see them, like the game of peekaboo. They really believe that if they can't see you, you can't see them. I believe, while we're wise to this as we grow older and know that that's not the case, the instinct is still there. Therefore, as an adult, if you see something that frightens you in your bedroom and you cover your head, while we know that this is not rational behavior, I think the instinct of out of sight, out of mind, if you can't see it, it can't see you, is still there, even as an adult. And I believe that's why so many of us cover our heads when we become scared at night. In a bed with the covers that we can cover our heads up with. Guys, I enjoy your show. I just wanted to throw this in there. I know I'm behind, and I've heard you all mention this a few times in previous shows, too. So that's just my theory on that, and I'm sticking with it. But guys, I really enjoy your show. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Everything he said is not true. If I close my eyes, you can't see me.
I liked his point.
Sure.
I think it, you know, there is an instinctual thing there that's going on. I even, at one time, it wasn't my dog, it was my brother's dog. I swear to God, this dog thought if he couldn't see us, we couldn't see him. And so when we lived out...
Your brother thought this?
No, the dog.
Oh, okay.
The dog, not my brother. And when we lived out in the country, we had deep ditches, you know, from the top of the ditch down to the bottom. It's probably a good 2, almost 3 feet.
Okay.
And so when we'd go to the end of the driveway, the dog would run across the yard and get down in the ditch. And we could see the brown fur on his butt puffed up, and he's just waiting because he's going to sneak out and try and bite the tires as we're driving down the road.
Try and bite the tires on a moving car?
This dog was not the smartest dog. He thought, because he's a herding dog, that he had a chance with a Ford Explorer. He thought that he would try and nip at the tires.
Sure, that worked out well.
He got hit once, but he did live to be 16 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, but...
Wow.
And we didn't hit him. He hit somebody else. But he thought if he was down low enough that he was going to sneak up and get us. So I get the whole instinct thing.
Sure. It's fight or flight, kind of. You know. But, yeah, it's a very interesting point.
Yeah.
I was unaware, though, that when you open and close your eyes, others can't. I thought we just kind of disappeared like that.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I ever thought that.
That's why Peekaboo is more fun for you than Harper.
I never thought that, though. Like, as a kid, I never thought, if I close my eyes, everybody else can't see me. Did you think that?
No. Maybe when I was little.
I don't know. As far back as I can remember, I don't ever recall having that rationale. I don't know. Interesting. It'll come back to me. I'll take one of those, what is it? The hypnotic things where you can kind of go revert back to your childhood. And I'll see what I felt.
Okay.
And I'll get back to you in a future episode. There you go. Until next time, if you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. $5 a month. Get all the bonus episodes, all 40-something of them, and bonus video material. Lots of good stuff there. And that's what keeps our show on the air. When you become an EPP, you help fund this thing we call Real Ghost Stories Online. And all of the cost involved with distributing the show. So please help us do that so we can stay on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.